Greeting in Jesus' name this evening. From your greetings from Pleasant View Congregation. I know we're close, but we're still not close. We don't get together often. But I was looking forward to coming down this evening. I certainly enjoyed the service already. Song service and devotional. Think of the wisdom from the world versus wisdom from God. Totally different. And also that lesson I did. Jonah said he serves God. And who are we serving this morning, this evening? And I have to think of a couple verses just like a devotional to the message or a little bit. And in Psalm 113, there's a couple verses in there that I was looking at this afternoon. Let's think about this morning. We think of God as a mighty God and God of true wisdom. And I was reading this and I'd like to read a couple verses here. It says in Psalm 113, it says, "From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. For the Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth?" When we think of our God this evening, I don't know what you think of. We know he's sovereign. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows our lives. He knows your name. He knows when you were born, when you were conceived. He just knows all about you. And I had to think of when he was talking about, brother's talking about the wisdom of God. And then I was thinking of this God who dwells with us. I think it's Psalm 33 that talks about God looking down upon his people. And when I was in Bible school in 1981, we had an older teacher. He was in his 80s, or low 80s, I think. I could just hear him read that. And he was always marveled at creation. And I don't know if that's where I kind of got it or not, but he could just tell stories about creation. And that made me think of Frank Borman, I guess. He was the one that went around the moon on the Apollo rocket. That would have been the first rocket that went up. I don't know if some of you would remember that was back in the 1900s, young boys. But anyways, I remember that. And they say whenever he went around the dark side of the moon on Christmas Eve, he saw the earth, like that beautiful hue. You know what he said? He said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There was millions of people watching that on TV. And he proclaimed the gospel right there. God always gets the glory. And I get so excited about that part. And as we think of our lives, you know, we're here short time. We want to make it count with God's help. Stephen entitled the message, "The Roaring Lion and Exposing the Enemy." And maybe that don't sound very nice. But I think we all deal with things in life. Sometimes there are hard things that we face. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, sometimes it's not. You know, we face life. And I'd like to take you to 1 Peter tonight, chapter 5. Look at a couple verses that kind of brings a little bit of light on that. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's my desire, remembering prayer tonight, as we came down this valley. You know, it's a small valley, but my wife Ruth and I, we just had a look around. You know, beautiful farms, and you know, I got farming in my blood. Forgive me if you think that all these things are going to pass away. They are. But I like seeing nice farms. In this valley, they have the you call the red buds. We call them Judas trees, still blooming. I remember coming down to Uncle Mark's, and we would drive in across the hill. That whole ridge was just full of them. As we traveled down here tonight, it just, you know, it was kind of a worship experience. And we were there at Merv and Anna Ruth. Certainly enjoyed our time there. New friendships. You know, sometimes we should do it oftener. But as we were visiting around there and enjoying our time, thinking about the blessing that we have of having friends and church people, people that know the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 6 through 8. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He says, be sober, and then he says, be vigilant. We see two things. "Because your adversary, the devil, as your roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You get a picture of that. We're going to talk about lions a little bit tonight. But as we think of Satan as a roaring lion, and sometimes he's like an angel of light. But as we think of a roaring lion tonight, we think of exposing the lion or the enemy. How do you think of Job chapter 1? When God said to Satan, he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm walking to and fro, like walking across the valleys." He's just like going to and fro. Thank you. He was looking for someone to devour. I don't think that's what he said. But he was just putting in time. I'm sure he had an evil gleam on his eye. He was just like walking to and fro. God said, "Did you see my servant Job?" You know, I don't know what Job looked like. I think of him probably pretty a tall man and maybe some gray hair, maybe a lot of gray hair. But a man that loved his children. He prayed for his children every day. But we know what happened to Job. He lost everything he had pretty much. His children were killed one night in a storm. And his wife said, "Curse God and die." But God was talking to the lion here. We're going to call him lion, the devil. He said, "Did you see my servant Job?" And then he tried to say, you know, if he could do certain things, he would sin. He would curse God and die. But that's not how Job was. That wasn't Job when it all came down to it. But as we think of this being sober, we think of two things that Paul says that are important. Number one is to be sober. As we think of sober as not out of control, temperate. As we think of being sober, we think of someone that's living carefully, don't we? That's what Paul was after. Live carefully, walk carefully. We think of being vigilant as watchful, being careful, not impulsive. You know, maybe you're someone like me. I can be a little bit impulsive sometimes. I get excited about things. But he's saying, be vigilant in your Christian walk, not impulsive. What do you think of when you think of a roaring lion? How many of you have stood next to him and heard him roar? It's been said that 60% of the people don't believe there's a devil. They have no understanding how he hates the people of God. He hates the people of God. I want to make that clear. He hates godly young people. You know why? Because you upset his plan. When you walk in a godly way among maybe someone that's not so godly, maybe someone that's not living for the Lord, you walk among them. You know what? They close their mouths. They're careful how they speak many times. You affect people by how you dress and how you walk among. You know, we want to be careful where we put our young people, but I've seen young people coming into places where there was ungodly men and they were quiet. They know there's something there. I think it was said something about darkness tonight already. This country is looking for security. I don't know how many of you remember September 11th, 9/11. We call it 9/11. I remember where I was. I was down in Reedsville, the old flour mills down there. Had a man come up to me. He said, "Dave," he was hollering. He said, "Something happened." He said, "Do you know what happened?" I said, "No." I had no radio. I didn't have a cell phone. I said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "They hit the towers, Twin Towers." I said, "What's that?" I'd really live back in the sticks. He said, "They hit the Twin Towers." He said, "They're attacking us." He said, "It's worse than Black Friday." It's changed our country. It has changed our country in a lot of ways. I don't think they're necessarily afraid, but they're vigilant. If you get a picture of what that's like, go to the airport. You got your bags packed real nice, and they want to take everything apart. Happens. Because of vigilance. You know, we might think we're a kind person. We wouldn't hurt anyone, but the devil hates people like that. Especially when you have Jesus. I think of the first home when Adam and Eve. You think of the devil when he came to Eve and he tempted her. He destroyed their life in the garden. I don't know what you think of in the summer when it rains. You have a quiet rain, but I think of Eden. I'll walk outside, maybe it'll rain. I'll even let the rain come down on my shoulders, the head and shoulders, and I smell the sweetness. I think that Eden was probably like that times how many times? I don't know. They were living in bliss, you could say. But the devil didn't like it. God had created the earth and mankind, and he had Eve there with Adam, and had to be incredible. Devil didn't like it. He doesn't like good people. He doesn't like good marriages. You know, there's something about the best things in life can be the most terrible when the devil enters the picture. That's marriage. That's relationships. When he enters and he divides, it's terrible. A roaring lion. Peter's saying he's a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Here in these verses, get a picture of that. He wants to devour homes. He wants to devour marriages. He hates great marriages. I think all the devil could think of when he came to them was destroy. But we think of, if there's light, then he is exposed. Like the light of young people and even elderly ones walking among someone that's ungodly, there's a light there that they can sense. I guess when I think of lions, I remember going to zoos when we were with the Philly Zoo, like one time with the parents on a bus. I remember the lions, a roar. But in 2018, Ruth and I, we went to Kenya to visit. We had a family, Joseph and Becky, some of you know them. And they took us to the wild game park. And we were there in 94, and it was a lot different. In 94, we stayed in tents. You could hear the lions out there. But in 18, we went to the park. They had it all fenced in, and they treated us well there. A lot of food. But they took us out in a van, and you could stand and watch the wild game in the van, not outside the van. They had a top on the top. If you ever go to Africa, you need to do that. And you'd see lions. They call them a pride. Or there might be 20 lions that would call that a pride. They'd be there just like half asleep, maybe chewing on a carcass or something. And they'd be just laying on their backs, maybe like your cats sometimes, chewing on a Cape buffalo they killed. You know what? There's three things about lions. Number one, they're nocturnal. Number two, they're paravisual. Number three, they're territorial. As we look at that word nocturnal, it says prowling in the dark. You know what? That's dangerous. How many of you would walk out and think just maybe the lion is prowling out there? We're looking at Satan as a prowling lion. It's dangerous. It is dangerous to live in spiritual darkness. Very dangerous. The devil is on the move. Peter said we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk carefully in our lives. We need to live carefully. Sin is Satan's property. You know what? When people mess with sin, they're messing with his property. We don't want him on our property. Paravisual. The definition of paravisual is like, it seemed dangerous first to be in the van with the top up and the lines within 20 feet. Paravisual, they couldn't see you in the van. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I was kind of looking at some things that talked about lions. They can't see you necessarily. You can do this and that. And they just kind of like look at you. They're paravisual. Doesn't seem real dangerous. And maybe we were within 20 feet. I remember one time we were We were in the van, and all at once there's a lion almost brushed the back of our van. He just kind of walked away. You know what? He was a lion. He looked nice. His fur looked like you could touch him. But he was a lion. And he could roar, I'm sure. If they're paravisual, you can wave your hands. You can make movements, and it doesn't seem like they would see us. Part of the lion. But you know what our guide said? Don't get out of the van. Absolutely not. He said he heard of a group of Japanese. One stepped away from the van. The lions killed and ate him in front of his family. That's gruesome. You know what? He was a roaring lion. He was paravisual. If he'd have stayed in the van, he'd been just fine. When we mess with sin, it gets us. This evening, I'd like to liken the van to the church. When he looks at the church, that's God's territory. I think I get excited about that. That's God's territory. There's lots of light. There's lots of goodness. There's no fear. But there's soberness. There's vigilance. We think of Jesus. He won that battle at the cross. Jesus, the scripture tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. We think of how many people are here tonight. He is in our midst. His Spirit is here. We need to have that soberness, that vigilance. Jesus wants to be in the midst of a marriage, in a family, in a church, in young people. He wants to be in your midst. You know, I've heard people say already, you know what, I don't need a church. I'll be okay by myself. But you know what the lion does, that roaring lion? He preys on a lone animal. He always will prey on that. He will sort them out and he will prey on them. He will kill them. He will eat them. He will catch him. He will devour that single animal, that roaring lion. You and I need a committed church. I'm sure you have one here, in this little valley. Committed church. You need committed friends. Third point is lions are territorial. If you run, they kill you. Genesis 9:2, it tells us that God put the fear of man into animals. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Africa and saw elephants. Talk a little bit about elephants. That's something else that makes a lot of noise. I'd like to bring out a point. I heard of a man and a woman, a man and his wife, they went with a guide for a walk about a mile from camp, and they heard a terrible sound. And a lone bull elephant came charging out of the brush. The man had asked the guide, "Where's your gun?" He said, "I don't need one. But just don't run." How would have you felt if an elephant was coming at you? But the guide had been there before, and he knew what was going on. He said he's been chased from the herd, and he was in a terrible mood. He said, "We'll just make a single file." So they made a single file. They made sure the guide was in front. They figured they might as well offer him up first. The guide clapped his hands and the elephant stopped. Then the screaming, and then he came again. The guide clapped his hands again and the elephant quieted down and walked away. Terrifying, right? Remember to stay in safe territory. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's powerful, isn't it? There's something about being a light. And I think of the many in the eastern countries in Iraq. And I heard a story of there was 22 people. They were going to execute them. They thought there were 22 Christians. What they didn't know, there's 21 of them. And the one on the end was a journalist. He was just there. And they line them up. And they're famous for beheading with their swords. They got them to kneel down. And they started with number one. They said, Will you denounce Jesus Christ? He said, I won't. He took his head off. They kept on coming down the line. They asked the same question. The journalist was at the other end. He was not necessarily a Christian at the time, or he didn't think he was. But he heard the words, I will not give up my faith. He kept coming down. He was the last one. They asked him the same question. He said, their God is my God. Incredible, isn't it? The light that was there changed his life very quickly. You know what? We weren't born with fear. The spirit of fear that comes from the evil one. He plants fear. You know what? We don't even realize it at times, but he plants fear. God is offering us the promised land. I was going through the Old Testament. Still am. As God would speak to Moses and he would speak to the people. Whenever God was on Mount Sinai, they didn't like to hear him speak. And I used to think, you know, why didn't they like to hear him? I think it was quite a noise and they were afraid, but it was God speaking. God was taking them to that promised land. And God wants us to have a promised land. And you might be thinking of the next life. He wants you to have one right here. You know what? We're here but a short time. The brevity of life. The psalmist says it's a span. It's like four inches. That's our life. And it talks about a vapor. We got a promised land here. Until the doors open to the real land. We don't need to be afraid. You've got a congregation here. You've got light. May you stay in that light. I think it's time for the people of God to take back their land, their life. Turn the light of Jesus on the roaring, prowling lion. He wants to destroy. He wants to dismember us. He wants to dismember our Christian life. I read a story of a man that was incarcerated, or he was put into prison in the time the Soviet Union was in power. He was 20. He was 20 at the time. He was in there for 55 years in prison because of all the darkness. He was in there. How would you feel? We can't imagine, can we? 55 years. The war was over. And they said, the guards that were there said, you know what, we're just going to kill this man. He's half crazy. And there was a psychiatrist that came in. He was a Hungarian psychiatrist. He said, let me take care of him. He said, we will speak with him. And we will make him well. They wheeled him outside. He couldn't walk anymore in a wheelchair. What would you ask for if you were in prison for 55 years? They asked him what's the first thing he wants. He said, I want a mirror. He said, I want to see how I look. You know what he did? He just broke down and sobbed. You know, I like to liken that. You know, how do we look? We look into the Word of God. You know what? We're worthless. Our righteousness as filthy rags. But we think of Jesus. He gave his life and he shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. that we might have the light of life in our face. I think of the countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Are we experiencing that tonight in our lives, in our families? Let's have the Spirit of God, not of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Think of David and Goliath. I came across that scripture here about a week ago. David was a young man. I don't know what his age was for sure, but he went out. He was taking care of his sheep, and he would kill a lion and a bear. For him, it was no sweat with his hands, I think, or whatever he had. And he went out there to check out on his brothers. His dad said, take the food down there for him. Then they got angry because he came, and they were just spying on him, they said. And David, he just kind of, you know, he said, how's everything down here? And Goliath was out there. He said, what's going on? You let him do what he's doing, in my own words. And Israel was afraid. He said, I'll take him down. He said, I did the lion and the bear. So Saul gave him all his armor. He couldn't carry it. I think it weighed like 140 pounds. He couldn't carry it. I had to wonder, you know, how many times do we try to wear someone else's armor? It don't work. But you know what David said? I'll take care of things. He had his sling. That was probably his something he always took with him. And he went down to that brook, and Goliath was out there cursing God in Israel. And he put that, he had that sling, and he went down to the brook, and he got five smooth stones. You know what he did? It says he hasted and he ran. He was like on fire. Goliath was like a roaring lion, you could say. He did it for like 40 days before this, and he was like, they were always afraid. David hasted and he ran. And Goliath was so angry, he pushed his helmet back. What a foolish man. So what it was protect his head. David put that stone right where it mattered. Took him down. He ran up and he got Goliath's sword. He cut his head off. Victory. Because he knew that God had helped him in the past. You know what? We think sometimes people say don't look in the past. But you know what? Our past can be our strength as well when we remember when God has helped us. People say, what do you do with that? What do you do with the other stones? I was told Goliath had some more brothers. I don't know if he thought he would take them on or not. I think he would have. But all he needed was take down Goliath. Cut off his head, and the victory was Israel's. I'd like to close with 1 Peter 1, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Maybe I'll start reading at verse 7, actually. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One of these times he's coming back, and I don't know if he's coming back tonight or not, but, you know, I was thinking of Easter morning. I thought, you know what, he might come back then. He's going to come back when no man knows. And I don't know how many of you saw the eastern sky this morning, but it was beautiful. I know it got cloudy later, but it was beautiful. And as I look at the eastern sky many times, I think of Jesus coming back. And we think of the eastern sky coming from there. I don't know where he's coming from, but you know what? He's going to split the heavens. He's going to split the clouds if there's clouds. Every eye is going to see him. So he says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. You know what? God tends the fire. He's there. He tends it. He makes sure that it's not too hot. Talks about the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. In whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligent, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. I think Peter was excited about this. He was talking to a lot of the Jews here, the Christians that were there that were kind of refugee people. They were there, and he was talking to them, and he loved the Lord, and he was excited about Jesus coming back. He's talking about the trials that they faced many times. And as we do that as well, as we face trials, may we remember that God is there. In those times of trials, he's tending the fire. Let's not be that lone person that's out looking for something you've never seen before. The devil will attack. I heard of a young man that left home. He was in a godly home, and his parents would pray. He never realized when he left home that wall of prayer was no longer there. You can pray for someone maybe, but that being in a home is like the devil was talking to God. He said, you put a hedge of protection about Job. That hedge of protection was real. May it be real in our lives, in the church, in our community, in our families. May we remember to walk carefully. Let's not walk by ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's single file or not. Let's walk together. May we stand together. May we sit together and walk together and be safe. Let's kneel for prayer.